Welcome to the Wait, What If podcast. I'm Kevin Sullivan, your host. I was trying to think of an adjective there. Your dorky host. Hold on. Try to lock that up there. All right. With me tonight is Mike Stojic. He was here last week. He came back for seconds. I guess I didn't freak him out enough.
I'm surprised you invited me back. I thought I was too dumb to talk to you.
No, we doubled our listenership in China with you. We went from 2 to 3. I mean, 6.
Wait, no, it's tripling.
I don't
Wait,
know. Yeah, no, you're right. So yeah, we're basically we're back on. Yeah, we have.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we have 8 listeners in China. Which my grandfather used to speak Chinese. And I can't.
Oh,
there's a word for hello.
Konnichiwa.
That's Japanese, I think.
It's close.
Is it? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, he used to say Saijian, but I think that's goodbye. Whatever. My grandparents lived in China.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So that might be the connection. I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe that's it. They recognize the name. Kevin Sullivan. And then that's right.
Who else? We got, I got something in my eye, too, just as I started this. So we have Iran, Republic of Iran is listening to us. Wow. One listener. Great Britain. Canada, the motherland of Ireland, Spain. I think Victoria got my Spanish listeners because she's got a Spanish last name. And that's about it. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? Bring that down. So we're going to talk about basically how we do this is on the fly. And I wrote to you and I was like, hey, we want to talk about this, that, or the other thing. I like to talk about combat sports. I was brought up in the combat sports, meaning anything that's really a combative sport, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, karate, boxing. And then you had sent me a quote from Socrates, which I think you put it down somewhere.
Oh, I can get it.
Did you memorize it?
No.
You might be able to.
I've got it close enough. Here, did you want to read it?
All right. It's, no man has the right to be an amateur in the matters of physical training. It's a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength for which his body is capable. When did you first hear that quote?
I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
It was when I really began getting heavy into strongman lifting, which
oh,
is
really?
A little bit different than powerlifting or Olympic lifting. Strongman, if it's close to anything, believe it or not, it might be closest to CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a bit of a functional fitness thing. You mm-hmm. pick up, except CrossFit picks up light weights a bunch of times. Yeah. Strongman picks up extremely heavy weights a bunch of times.
I when I hear strongman, I think Magnus von Magnussen when I was growing
That's him, yeah. Yeah, he's one of the strongmen.
Vice. Have you ever heard of Vice? HBO documentary series. Just kind of like a new series.
No.
They have one. You can go on YouTube, look up Strongmen of Iceland, or it's the Giants of Iceland or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about how there's this ridiculous amount of guys up in Iceland that just train with blocks of ice. And
it's a national sport for those guys. Like they're celebrities, almost like LeBron James is a celebrity here, but those guys are celebrities like that in their country.
Magnus von Magnussen, probably one of the biggest names in it.
He's amazing. I met, I'm drawing a blank. He won the strongman competition like 4 or 5 years in a row back in the 70s.
Was he a Viking? Or
he's a little guy. He's an American.
Oh, really?
He's a little shorter than me, and I'm 5'9", so he might be 5'7 or 5'8". Mm-hmm. The Kaz, Bill Kazmir.
Okay.
Is his name. I actually had a chance to meet him and talk to him real briefly. I watched him roll a frying pan up with a single hand.
Really?
He put it against his chest and he rolled it. And that wasn't a circus carnival act. That was a real frying pan because he passed it around.
Wow.
And we all saw it.
You know, I recognize that guy.
Actually, he's intense. He hosts the World Strongman competitions now on TV. Yeah.
He kind of looks like the guy on Over the Top with Arnold Schwarzenegger, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sly, Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
The one who drank... He does. He looks just like him, the one who drank motor oil before he competed. Did you ever watch Over the Top? No. Oh my God, it's a classic. Were you a child of the 80s? I guess.
No, I was born in 81, so sort
of. Yeah. 80s and early 90s. It was, in the movie. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's realistic. So Sylvester Stallone goes around the country, you know, arm wrestling for money, hustling people. And he goes to this competition to get his, hey, gotta get my son back. He's got to get enough money to meet his son. And he goes, he does this arm wrestling competition, and they treat it like it's an MMA event or something.
That's big awesome. Lights and
it's
cage.
Like, yeah, it's total like 80s and like the music is all 80s. And awesome. They're doing like this mock interview, like as if it's for like a documentary at one point. And he's in front of this truck, this big rig that he wants to win. Cause the winner gets the big rig. Cause obviously only people who arm wrestle are big rig truck drivers. And this one guy is like, and he looks like him. It's like, and he takes a bottle of motor oil and he chugs it before he goes
out. Maybe it was. I have no idea. He might have been in a movie. Back then, he was kind of the man. He won it a few times.
So. But that stuff's legit. This ball Atlas here. Stones? Those are pretty cool.
Oh, I trained with those for a while.
Really?
Yeah. I had abrasions all on the inside of my forearms from picking them up. They were actually real cheap concrete balls, so they weren't smooth like... These guys use some really cool smooth ones.
Yeah, don't they have them like specially made and it's like a big deal to have them made?
Yeah. Well, they have to weigh a certain weight and I don't know. I don't know all the details. I mean, we had cheap ones that we made like in our backyard.
Cinder blocks. You try to smooth out the side. Why doesn't it roll?
You get cut up and you're bleeding from picking up these giant Atlas stones.
I thought about doing something like that in my backyard where I now have a children's swing set and a fire pit. I actually wanted to build like a pull-up bar and just some outdoor stuff because it's just a lot cooler.
I think I told you, I'm getting stuff from my garage.
Oh, really? Yeah. I saw, when I returned your tamper, I saw your heavy bag.
Yep, that'll be hung at some point.
I love heavy bags. Heavy bags are great. Great workout. So let's go back to the strongman. No, it's all right. This is what the podcast is about. Just going on tangents. So did you ever compete?
No, I was training for it, and then my numbers were getting... I had a friend who did. He did some amateur competitions, and then my numbers were starting to get close to his. Mm-hmm. He still had a bit on me, and then right as I was feeling pretty good and training pretty hard, my hips started to hurt.
That's right.
And then that's when I went in and got looked at, and they're like, oh, you have... severe hip dysplasia and you need to knock this off.
and then
that led to the ultimately me getting separated out of the Marine Corps from
that's
medical.
Right.
So it wasn't because of the lifting that my hips were messed up. I was actually born with the messed up hips.
But was it? So it was congenital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I know I never had an opportunity to, which is pretty, I still think about it cause I really wanted to, I was getting pretty good. I weighed 20 pounds more than I do right
really?
Now.
Just
yeah. I was
muscle?
Huge.
Yeah.
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 it was ridiculous.
That's now that functional training, I don't mind. So when the CrossFit craze hit, I was training in mixed martial arts. Actually, I was training in heavily in jiu-jitsu, a little bit into judo, doing a lot of boxing, Muay Thai, San Chow. These are all like versions of kickboxing. And takedowns, like wrestling type takedowns. And it didn't really, I mean, I guess it kind of fit in our program in that you could build up your cardiovascular and grip strength and things like that. But I never, and this was before I was in medicine, there's something just weird about it. I'm like that, seeing people just lift and lift and lift with a heavy bar with, I don't know how much weight was on it.
It's awesome. They preach the proper way and they teach the technique.
I never see him do it, right?
And then they completely throw it out the window.
Yeah, and it's so like, dangerous.
Here's the proper way to do it, like a clean and jerk or a snatch.
Yeah.
Now who cares?
Yeah.
Do whatever you want as long as you're lifting it as hard and fast as you can.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty foolish.
And it's all about any sort of lift is about form. It's about body mechanics.
Right.
And when you're throwing that out the window, there's two things you're doing. One, you're screwing yourself, and two, you're padding the pockets of. Orthopedic surgeons out there.
I mean, it took off huge in the Marine Corps when it came out. And then what you noticed was an increase in athletic sport type injuries.
Sure.
So you had a lot more guys going to our BAS or our aid station or medical to get checked out for like blowing shoulders, messing up knees and hips.
And what's a kipper pull-up? You ever see those? Kipper up or kipper pull-up?
Yeah, I was taught how to do them. Yeah. Because I was training with a guy who did CrossFit. I never got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I was kind of training with him, because he was actually good. He knew the technique and he was teaching me the Olympic moves, which was something I wanted to learn since I can no longer do strongman stuff. I thought, well, let me do Olympic type lifting because you can really lower the weights and get a great workout. Yeah, he showed me how to do the kipping pull-up. Mm-hmm. And if you do, and I hate to give any credibility to CrossFit or...
you hate to give credibility to them?
Or, no, not good. Not give credibility, but that's the wrong word. I meant, I don't know,
no,
give
I'm,
them one. But it's, if you do it the way they were designed, mm-hmm. you'll feel it in your abs. You almost have a total body.
Yeah, that's the cheating. Case.
You're not obviously not focusing on the back, which is what you should be focusing on, a pull-up, mm-hmm. like straight up and down, dead mm-hmm. hang pull-ups, which is the way they're designed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But these skipping ones, man, you'll feel it. It's cardio. Yeah. It is. It's like doing a jumping jack, but you're doing a pull-up.
I see two things wrong with it. One, like, let's take the shoulder press with a kettlebell. So you see someone, if you're going to do a shoulder press, you have a certain form. Again, you engage your abdominal muscles. You're probably sitting if you're going to do a heavyweight shoulder press. You see them pick up 75 kilos and they're like pumping their hips up and jumping up onto their tippy toes and driving the weight up. And you're like, you're not isolating your shoulders by any means.
Well, it's foolish.
So yeah, you just put up 75 kilos on one arm, but what did you do? You just proved that you're using your body to generate the energy to move it up, but you might as well be, I don't know, doing it just doesn't
make any sense. You're obviously not using the proper mechanics.
Yeah, and you're going to hurt yourself, guaranteed.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah,
it's except for like the elite 1% guys that are actually the real deal guys are out there. But they're like, those kind of athletes are like NBA players.
Yeah,
you know, just because you can play a pickup league in your church's parking lot doesn't mean you're right for the NBA. And that's like 90% of CrossFitters. You know, they're trying to do the things that. What's the guy's name? Rich Froning is the number one CrossFit guy in the world. And they're trying to do stuff that he can do. Well, he's that 1% guy who can actually do the weight those many times and not hurt himself because he's using the mechanics of it.
I wouldn't strap on a helmet and go try to tackle an NFL player. You know what I mean? So what?
It's exactly it, but I don't know.
And then I want to put a caveat. The CrossFitters, when they do it, they're fit as hell. Those people are ripped. They usually, if they do it right, are usually low body fat, high muscle, not bulk so much as in when you see them, they look like just a giant muscle.
Yeah,
even the women, they're like, I'm trying to think of some of the famous women. There's one around here, Christmas Abbott.
Yeah. She's in Raleigh.
Yeah. She does NASCAR too, but you see her and she's probably, I don't know, 5 foot nothing. She's not very big and she's throwing some serious weight around.
But those guys are not just doing CrossFit. They're also doing your standard lifts too.
Yeah.
So they're doing benches and they're squatting and they're deadlifting and they're doing the things that standard weightlifters should be doing and they do.
Yeah.
And then he goes, then they go and they also do this CrossFit and they use that as like a high intensity interval training because that's kind of what CrossFit is too. And that's cardio. And so that's how they're able to burn a lot of that fat and really slim down.
But I'd
ask, you know, go to the local CrossFit gym, you know, here, or go to any CrossFit gym and just look at those guys. And not all of them are that fit. Some of them will prescribe to the lifestyle, and then a lot of them don't because part of it's dieting as well.
You go to any boxing gym, you see the same thing. People that are like, "Hey, what are you up to lately?" I'm a mixed martial artist. Like, really? You were doing programming last week, and then they come. And the problem with a lot of those guys, and it's why I got out of it. And it was mostly maybe the 18-year-olds that would come in and they're like, I got something to prove. I got to just show how strong I am. And they didn't stick with form. They didn't stick with any sort of, you know, it's your third week of jiu-jitsu and you're trying to pull an arm bar on someone and you hurt people and you get hurt. And I got hurt a bunch of times from just idiots showing how strong they are. And it's like, I get it that you outweigh me by 40 pounds. You're 18 and you just came from wrestling. But you're not doing any, you're not playing jiu-jitsu at this point. You're just muscling and hurting people.
Yeah. It's like backyard wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I had to get away from it. Cause I was the last time I competed, I think I was 35 and I was just, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm getting hurt. There was prizes, but I wasn't good enough to take home any of the money. So it was like, I'm just hurting myself. I'm getting banged up. I mean, in 1 year I separated my AC, I blew up my MCL. I had all these times off where I just couldn't train anymore. And I'm like, this is dumb. So I just got away from it. I got into corner man, fixing cuts and stuff at the fights versus being in the fights. I wish I discovered it. Yeah. And then I would still train, but you there's a sense of maturity when you're 35 and you go into a ring with someone and you're like, we're just going to, you know, someone who knows what they're doing, and you can go and spar and do stuff like that. No, but I wouldn't just open, like, oh, we call it open mat spar or wrestle anymore. It's just dumb. There's a point in your life where you realize you want to use your joints at some other time. It's the same reason why you don't want to do lift anything heavy anymore.
That's right.
Just, there's no money in it. And there's no, the only outcome is really just getting hurt. So, I mean, we can go back to that quote. If someone, his quote almost says, this is Socrates again, that he feels bad for people who don't understand their true potential, the potential of being a human being,
right,
and what your body can do.
Sure.
So I get mad at a lot of people that sweat the petty stuff. There's a lot of people out there that just, you know, will be all upset over a scratch in their car or something that in the long run doesn't mean anything. And I think the same can go for people that don't appreciate fitness to a level of not a CrossFit competitor, not a triathlete, but someone at least, you know, maybe can do a 5K or something and appreciate what your body can do.
You have this one body, and it's capable of doing some impressive things. And if you watch any athlete, pro athlete, do what they're good at, it's amazing. And obviously, yeah, you know, that's the top 1%. But still, we can, you know, as the amateur guy, still aspire to be a bit better than, you know, than doing nothing.
Yeah,
you know, and actually going out and utilizing our bodies and our muscles and our bones and working and building something instead of just sitting.
Have you ever taken time off from working out and you just get jumpy and edgy and you feel like you're?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I had to take a lot of time off when I was going through my rehab. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to do something.
Yeah.
But you can't because I was going through like the rehab for my hips and my back. But then I've also been lifting for quite a while and I've always been active. So, so for me, yeah. But for most people, no, I don't think they get edgy at all, because you look at the majority of Americans and we're obese.
Two thirds of the American population is overweight or obese.
It's incredible. And then I suppose you can blame it on the food, but at the same time, you're living a very lethargic life and
yeah,
you're not really living up to your full potential. But then those same people are probably not living up to their full potential anywhere else, where it comes to, like, you know, what your mind is capable of doing and going out and taking some risk and being somebody.
No, you got to sit on the couch and watch Kardashians. What are you talking about, man?
That's right.
You got to find out what Kim is up to this week, because
that's exactly it.
It's important.
Right. I know. So, well, I mean, you know, it's hard. I mean, I don't like to judge anyone. I mean, it's obviously their life. And if you want to be that two thirds, that just never gets to really understand what you're capable of doing, then that's your one life.
Yeah,
enjoy it and be like everyone
else.
That's
it. Once you're done, it's...
I like what Schwarzenegger said, was like the worst thing he can be is like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So go take risks and be somebody unique to your own individual instead of like everyone else.
Seinfeld told a anecdote to this comic. It was on a... documentary. I watch a lot of documentaries because I'm lazy and I start reading books. I can't tell you how many books I have two thirds read, and that's I'm right. Just like, I don't care anymore. I got something else to do. He has a documentary called, I think it's called Comic. It might be called Comic, or maybe Stand Up or something.
Is it where he's in a car and he's asking?
No, that's questions? He's got a TV show out where he drives around a car and basically interviews people.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's in the backseat of a cab or something.
Yeah. Well, no, he drives any random car.
Oh.
So he'll just come pick up a comedian in some random car and they'll go out and drive. It's actually a pretty good show. This one, it was when he finished Seinfeld, he was kind of in that limbo world where he wasn't traveling and doing shows. Mm-hmm. So he decided to just strip his entire set and start from scratch. And he was going to do an open mic nights and he was just starting. It was actually really good to see someone as big as him. Not many comedians bigger than him. Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
That's the only name I can think of that would be as big and synonymous as, like, so he's talking to this younger comic and he's telling a story about some traveling band in the 1940s and how they were driving to a show on New Year's Eve, and it was snowing, and that kind of cold snow with sleet and it's mushy, and the bus breaks down. So the band has to get all their equipment and walk the last 3 miles to the show, so they're there on time and they can play in New Year's or whatever. So the bunch of bandmates, you know, there's like 20 of them. They grab their equipment, grab their luggage, and they're walking through the snow. It's cold, maybe rainy, sleety, just, you know, that miserable feeling. Mm-hmm. And as they're walking towards the center of town, they see a house and the lights are on inside, and they're kind of walking by and they look in the window, and there's a dad with his sweater on and a pipe, and there's a fire in the fireplace, and they're all sitting around, and the kids are in their pajamas and playing with their Christmas toys, and mom has, I don't know, she's a good woman, and she's bringing her man a drink. Everyone's just having a good old time. And the one band member looks at the other and he goes, "Ugh, how can people live like this?" And then they go on their way. Exactly. So the whole idea is, you know, it's that level. And I always felt this way. There's a level of discomfort that makes you truly enjoy life. I mean, mm-hmm. there is, and it's not discomfort like I just lost my leg in a car accident. That's horrible discomfort. Yeah, it's discomfort terrible. In like just experiencing. Take for instance, I rode my bike from San Francisco to Virginia Beach from the Presidio down by the Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. Me and there was 12 or 13 disabled veterans. And we set out for 63 days straight across the country.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was pretty cool. It was miserable. I mean, there was days where it just miserable. We were in the snow. We were in the cold. We were in the rain going up the Continental Divide. You know, I don't remember how high now, 11,000 feet or something. Jeez. Just cold and miserable. And it was looking back on it, aside from the marriage to my wife and my birth of my children, the best thing I ever did in my life. At the end of it, my arm, I looked like I equated it to if I was a candle at the beginning, at the end, I looked like a candle that was left in the sun, like all my upper body just deflated and my legs were massive. That's awesome. I'm like, why are none of my shirts fitting? And then all my pants, that's I'm like, why are none of my pants fitting?
That's awesome.
But it was incredible. And it was through that misery. And I remember feeling like crap during it, but there's nothing better than going to bed that night, just laying down on that pillow and being like,
oh. Man, you accomplished something really great.
Yeah, it was all right.
What are you kidding? Riding a bicycle from one end of the country to the other?
That's amazing. The whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
I missed incredible. A half a day because I crashed and had to go to the hospital. But, you know, it happens. So we just took a little break, and we had a good laugh, and then we come back on the air, and we're like, so...
What next? Combat sports.
Combat sports. I'm currently living with a one-year-old, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a five-year-old, and... How do I say this? I've been drinking a lot lately. I don't sympathize with those people that burn the house down.
Man, things got really weird.
I mean, what happened? What I'm saying is, I understand. I'm joking. It's not, you know, maybe there's something genetically predisposed in men, and I've learned more. I went through SEER school, right, with the military, mm-hmm. and they train you to be under a very stressful situation and to gather yourself inside and not lose it. And I find myself using those techniques here. More than work. I did. That's right.
You haven't burnt your house down.
People are like, man, you're really calm. And they don't realize in my head, I've already thrown a table through the window. I'm like, oh, I'm tearing apart everything right now inside here.
It's all here.
Yeah. There's a t-shirt that says, next step. I look calm, but I've already killed you three times. And for the people that don't have kids, it's so hard. Because you're like, you know, it is. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. Because there's these little cute people that you made, and they're just great, and they say stuff that only you can truly appreciate. You think everyone else appreciates it because you're like, oh, my kid the other day said this, and everyone, it's not, oh, really? That's a great story.
Lots of people say that.
yeah. But it's like, it's, I don't know, it's this thing that you get when you become a parent. But then I like to, I, and my wife will tell me this a lot. I don't really have a filter. I just straight out say what's on my mind for a couple of reasons. One, at least you know where I stand. Mm-hmm. And two, it's just more funny to say what's on your mind and what you're thinking. And I'll often express my thoughts about kids and everything, and it gets me in trouble. I love them. I do. And I would go to the end of the world for them. But you just have to...
I don't have any of those. I don't have children, so I...
Yeah, you won't get it.
I'm not
going to
understand it.
So, it's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic.
A lot of people say that, especially my family, who keeps trying to coerce me into having children.
Oh, yeah. They'll do that.
They always do. They do it. They've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
I'm down with their tricks, though. I don't let them get to me.
It'll creep you out. What you do when you're in your mid-30s. Is Jamie in her mid-30s?
Yeah, she's just a little bit younger, maybe about 6 months.
Okay. So whenever there's a family member asking you about that, be like, well, you know, how's menopause going? And they'd be like, well, apparently my reproductive organs are everyone's topic of discussion, so let's talk about yours. Yeah.
I'm not gonna say that's gross. How's your dusty
because you know what I mean, it comes down to, it's just completely inappropriate and people don't know.
They kind of stopped. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Because
we've been married for a while, so they, I think, well, especially my mom, she's given up on me.
She's given up.
She's given up on me.
We didn't have kids who were 36.
That's good. That's actually good to hear for us, because we want to wait a few more years, and I'll be 34. She's 33. So it's good. We don't want to. Yeah. I don't feel like I should have kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can barely take care of myself, let alone children. So
yeah,
maybe that changes. I don't know.
No, it's fine. As long as your body's still working, you're good to go.
I do know, as soon as he's able to walk, he'll be lifting weights.
Yeah. Well,
the baddest, toughest baby on the planet.
I always had these thoughts of like
getting in baby combat,
getting a
sports
speed bag out for my son and having him at least throw some kicks and stuff.
Yeah, why not? There's no harm in that.
Did I tell you
about Spartan kids were thrown out into the wilderness to hunt?
I'm going to send Maddie outside all night
for yourself.
Comes back with my neighbor's dog. Dinner tonight. We eat.
Yeah, we feast.
Yeah. There's this theory out there that DNA can actually communicate in reverse, which sounds bizarre. I think last time we were on, we were talking about quantum mechanics, how two particles can communicate with each other.
That's right. Yeah.
And they apparently it works, because they're building a computer that can do it right now. Well, there's this idea that since we're all made out of quantum pieces, and again, it's a theory, but I mean, so is gravity, and I'm not going to doubt that one anytime soon. Mm-hmm. That your DNA can actually, or any cell can actually communicate through distance, and we just don't understand it yet. It's just not part of our knowledge base, but at some point it may be that, you know, two molecules, just as two particles, can communicate at a distance. Hmm. And they also say that you can communicate, or DNA, your genetics can communicate trauma. So people who, let's say, children of an African tribe whose tribe was slaughtered, but a few lived, will actually carry that genetic trauma with them and develop either, I don't know if it comes out in psychological issues or comes out in patterns.
It could be where instinct comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps. Yeah, yeah. Because
it's like an instinctual.
My dog buries bones on the couch. You know, he's not burying it, but he's doing instinctual. You know, he's going through the numbers.
Well, how we're instinctually we're afraid of certain things, and it could be as a result of something in the past, and then that maybe got past your neck. I never thought of it quite like that, but where do instincts come from?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how do you know to do certain things? Maybe not. It's easier to see in animals, like birds, to fly in certain directions.
Or, yeah, sure. I mean, I guess you could say that a bird that or a dog that buried his bone, one who figured it out, survived in that little, I guess you call it, glitch of, I just want to bury my food all the time, and ended up keeping those ones alive versus...
Yeah.
What Joe Rogan talked about on his podcast, how his daughter, he'll roll with his daughter, just wrestle around with her. She's, I don't know, a toddler or something like that. She'll start doing moves where she's like doing side control and full mount. These are all jiu-jitsu moves, different than wrestling in that you can fight from your back in a defensive posture. Right. And then it's funny, as we're doing that, I'm watching my son wrestle my daughter, and he's getting side control and he's throwing an arm bar in. I never taught him that. And he's throwing a legitimate, like, he was laying on her, throws one leg up, throws the other leg up. I'm like, wait, no, don't do that. She doesn't know how to tap yet. She's only a year old. Wouldn't it be great if she tapped?
Yeah. How did you know how to do that?
But I've seen, and it makes me think, I'm like, you know, maybe there's some legitimacy behind that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there might be.
I mean, we know that there's genetics with, I mean, your kids will probably be able to lift weights and they'll have the genetic stock, although your wife is very
thin.
Yeah. So
well, hopefully they take after me then.
Yeah. Did she do anything? Was she a runner or anything like that? Yeah,
she did. In high school, she ran track.
Okay.
Cross country.
So they could be runners. You never know.
They might be runners.
Yeah.
I want big meatheads though. I want big dumb grunt meat.
Even if it's your daughter.
Pick it up and put it down.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah, that would be. Well, Maddie is, I think he's at the, maybe at the 50th percentile. So I hopefully have a wrestler there.
Yeah, you never know.
Or a running back. But
I think it sometimes works in another way. Like Michael Jordan's kid, he'll never play in the NBA. He played at UNC, I think, but he wasn't really all that great. I don't take after either one of my parents.
Really?
Yeah. The way I think, and then physically, I probably take after my mom. She's built like, or I'm built like she is. She's a bigger lady, but yeah, neither one of them did any sort of real physical activities growing up. My mom hates.
Do you think?
So I don't know where it came from.
Do you think you were guarded against growing up like them, or do you think meaning like
no me per no I don't know because they always encouraged my brother and I to do it. Whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I want to wrestle. And then they let me get into wrestling, but neither one of them ever did.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it came from. Or lifting heavy weights. Mm-hmm. My dad is a tiny guy. He's a skinny guy. He's a runner. So I don't know. I don't know.
So somewhere, maybe, grandparents.
Maybe like generations ago, I had some.
There's some Neanderthal running around.
Just lifting trees out of the ground.
Imagine you time travel and you go off and they all look like you.
Whoa, look at these guys.
The prophecy has been fulfilled. So human beings have been around 100,000 years. We had some faults over those 100,000 years. I mean, I'm sure when we were eating raw meat, we might have died more of, I don't know, bacterial causes or I don't know. And then we invented fire and okay, we get that whole part. But say over the last, let's just say 1,000 years, we've eaten a certain way, maybe 6,000 years. People have been cooking food for a while. So let's say 6,000 years, we've been eating a certain way. Fish, grains, fruits and vegetables, whatever we could cultivate within our air, because we couldn't travel or anything like that. We can do today. And now, you know, over the past maybe 100 years, maybe a little less, let's say 75 years since World War II, we've seen sugar and processed foods and preservatives and these things that just have not been part of the American diet. And now we're seeing, like we talked about at the beginning, 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese.
Obviously, our bodies are not, well, I think it's obvious that our bodies, the physical body, is not evolving as fast as our our mental capacity, where our brains are. So we're evolving mentally very quickly, and we're creating these new technologies. And as a result, you're getting, like you said, sugar, which didn't exist however many years ago.
Yeah, not refined sugar. I mean, they might have been sweetening things with sugar cane. And
like that sort of thing, but you're not getting the factory produced.
They're just dumping it in stuff.
Yeah,
now.
And we're high fructose corn syrup, which are finally getting on the right track and getting rid of that, and these saturated fats and all these processed foods where they put all these chemicals, and a lot of them are preservatives, and now you're ingesting those things, and it's doing terrible things. But our bodies aren't evolving as fast as the mind is, which is creating these things, so it doesn't really know how to... That really had to handle it. So you're getting all these new, I think it's where we're getting a lot of new diseases, and maybe cancer is becoming more prevalent.
Oh, sure.
And then obviously people are just, their bodies can't break things down. So they're getting super fat. And it has a result of some of these foods. I definitely think that, because it's what fuels us at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, people come to me, I deal with this every day of my life. Every day I talk with people about weight loss and what they should be doing. And you sometimes want to beat your head against the wall because you feel like you're not getting through. And maybe you're not getting through because you're taking a lifetime of habits and you're trying to change it in 45 minutes. And you haven't come back in another 40 or maybe 20 minutes you have with them this time. And I have, in my position, I have the ability to spend time with the patients. But a doctor, 10 minutes. And if they follow up every 3 months, you're talking maybe 30 minutes a year to try to get someone. Yeah. No,
they're never going to do it. And plus, they're completely inundated with advertising for these major food corporations. And then plus, you think how we grew up, watching Saturday morning cartoons, and you'd see something for, I don't know, Frosted Flakes or Fruity Pebbles, and it was like part of a complete breakfast. Yeah. Like, that's nothing but a bowl of sugar.
That's all
man.
It is. That's all
How
it is.
Is that a complete
even
breakfast?
If you had just cornflakes from the neck down, it's just sugar.
It still is. So I mean, even then, you've grown up believing that this is how you should eat. And of course, you know, 30 minutes with the doctor is not going to change that. And then now you're also going to put that on your kid. And it's an interesting cycle.
There's a Dr. Lustig out there. He does a he did a, I guess he called it a documentary. It's more like a lecture called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. If you look it up and watch it. If you're listening to this now, your homework is to watch it on YouTube because it'll blow your mind and it'll change your whole attitude about sugar. And he classifies it as a chronic toxin, a poison. So there's arsenic poisoning where you can get a little bit and a little bit. Some people in industries get this and their body starts to shut down. And you're seeing the same thing with sugar. You take sugar, it's metabolized, especially fructose, is metabolized in such a different way than other sugars. It creates extra fat cells. It creates extra LDL. Yeah. It's basically fat. You're basically eating fat. And you're spiking your insulin levels, you're causing insulin resistance throughout your body, and you're having these long-term effects, blindness, heart disease, stroke, kidney disease. We're going to see such high rates of kidney disease. Guarantee you, mark my word, over the next 20 years, kidney disease is going to go through the roof. Everyone's going to be hooked up to dialysis machines because their blood pressure and their diabetes is going to just shut down their kidneys because we're keeping people's hearts around longer. So you look at, and all that is from refined sugars, from spiking your blood sugars. And if that's not the definition of a chronic or a long-term slow released poison, I don't know what is. And it's something that, it's so easy to forget about it and, you know, to go through life and then you go back and you're like, wow, I mean, every now and then you have to reset and be like, we got to remove this stuff.
Well, the sugar is it's a mainstay in our society. You know, it's going to people that, even if you tell them and you show them the facts and you're like, look, this is what's happening when you eat this sort of stuff, like these Snicker bars and everything, and Cokes, they're not, it doesn't matter. Most folks, it's like fitness, what we talked about earlier. Like, I don't know if there's a person in the country that doesn't appreciate or understand that doing some level of physical activity will make you healthier and you'll feel better and you'll be better.
Yeah.
But the most people, they don't do it. They don't really care. So you show them these facts and they'd rather just live their life and eat the sugar and then have, you know, whatever, pay for it later, I guess.
You hear all the excuses in the world too. I hear them all about my back hurts, my hips hurt. Yeah. You know,
and it's, what's amazing is if you actually go out and you strength training and you build and you pump the blood, into those joints because you're training those muscles that are surrounding those joints, man, you'll feel so much better. Mm-hmm. Your back will feel better. Right. Your joints will feel better because you're strengthening those things.
Or just eating clean.
And eating clean too. Yeah.
I mean, if you're, so let's say you do eat sugar, it pumps up your insulin goes to your brain, says, I'm starving, I'm hungry. The insulin goes to the fat cells, puts all those calories right into fats. Now your body thinks it's starving, but it's also gaining weight. You don't have, your insulin resistance goes down. So that sugar is not getting to the muscles, not getting to your brain, and you're just feeling lethargic. You feel like crap.
Food should energize you. If you eat a meal and the first thing you want to do is go to bed, take a nap, when something's seriously wrong, it's because your body doesn't know how to process
that's the point of it.
And break it down. You should eat for energy. Mm-hmm. And when you do eat a good, healthy meal with complex carbohydrates and lean proteins, you'll feel more energized because your body knows how to break those things down and use them as they're intended. But when you eat large pizzas, which isn't in moderation, but if that's all you're eating is junk, and the first thing you want to do is you eat this huge meal and you're like, ah, it's time for a nap, you know, loosen the belt. And
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a great example because there's a ton of terrible things
Thanksgiving
dinner table. I mean, it's bad because your body doesn't know what to do with this stuff and it just begins shutting down and then it starts storing all this stuff as fat. it's just bad business.
Yeah, and you go from, I mean, we had to eat for obvious reasons or we'd die to it became a cultural thing. And eating is more than just to replenish your energy. I mean, it's the first thing because you're hungry, but you eat because it's a time for the family to get together. And it kind of lost its way, I guess, of being a time to nourish your body and eat the right way.
I've read recently that, you know, you start talking about like clean eating and these complex clean eating generally, what it means is you're eating lean proteins and complex carbohydrates. So you get your carbs from like fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. So natural sugars and then all the carbs in like the vegetables. And then the clean eating is the lean proteins like fish and chicken. Mm-hmm. Those are lean
bison.
Proteins. And bison is actually really great because it's the only land animal that has omega-3 fatty acids, which is great for your heart and brain and joints. So that's kind of clean. But then I've read another article recently that says your body can't tell the difference between clean carbohydrates and so-called dirty carbohydrates.
Like a spoonful of sugar or an apple?
Yeah, it's carbohydrate, and it doesn't know. It really doesn't know the difference. So then there's a new diet. I don't know if you saw this. I texted it to you. It's IIFYM.
Yeah, the macros.
Which is, if it fits your macros. But that... It's not, I mean, you can kind of eat whatever you want.
Yeah, I read that.
You don't really eat whatever you want. There's still
you have to have so many grams of protein, so many grams.
You have to understand what your macronutritional intake is to do whatever it is that you're doing. So if you're super physical and you're burning more calories and your macros are going to be higher, macronutritional value is going to be a bit higher. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to burn fat, then obviously you want to lower that number. And it all has to do with counting calories. Because what they're saying is protein, fat, whatever, fiber ratio, as long as it's within your macros, it's fine. But the problem is like if you eat like a large hamburger every single day because you're like, well, it fits my macros. Well, it really doesn't because the amount of fat, saturated fat that's in that thing is so huge.
Yeah.
The proteins, you're not going to get the protein you need because the fat's going to be way too high. But what it does is allows you some flexibility in your dieting so you don't feel like you have to eat, you know, cardboard.
Yeah.
Which is, if you eat chicken every day, that tends to be what it tastes like.
Common sense plays a big role into it.
Absolutely.
Too. And it's so people come to me and they say, oh, I'm not eating carbs. I'm like, really? Why?
It's kind of stupid.
Oh, because they're bad for you. I'm like, really?
No, it's not.
Your brain works from carbohydrates.
It needs carbs.
Yeah. When you're that's all that burns you in your brain is carbohydrates. And when you don't get them, your body breaks down muscle, breaks down fat, breaks down fatty acids, and it turns into ketone bodies, which is acidic, and your body gets acidic, and you have this weird... So, that's not good for you. It's what we call an emergency backup system. Your backup generator kicks in, and you can't keep that up for the rest of your life. Or people say, well, I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and it's like... Or they'll ask me, can I have a sandwich? And I'm like, I don't know, can you? It's common sense. So can I eat a sandwich? Well, look at what you're eating. So it goes back to your point where you said your body can't tell the difference. Mm-hmm. Yes and no. Something like a piece of white bread and five tablespoons of sugar.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah,
your body can't tell the difference between that from the neck down. But if you're eating an apple or let's say almonds, or we could take an apple or almonds. Let's say you eat 160 calories of that or you drink 160 calories of soda. It's the same as the soda is like throwing, like having a fire that's going out in front of you. You throw gasoline on that fire, whoosh, it's going to blow up in your face. You throw a log on the fire, it's going to burn slowly. And let's say that each, that log and that gasoline, the two amounts you had the same amount of energy stored within it. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a spike in energy, an explosion of energy versus a slow burning in energy. You take something like an apple, the fiber content in there, the body has to break it down to get the sugars out of there and into the system. Whereas a Coke goes straight to your liver, straight into the portal system, goes to the liver. Liver starts pumping out insulin instantly and starts, and with all that sugar, that spike, I mean, if you don't, I have like a sinus infection. I'm trying to catch myself from snorting in the thing here. What were we talking
about? If you look at just the carbs of the sugar and just the carbs of the bread, or just the carbs of an apple and just the carbs of something else, if it's, then those are equal. But obviously a lot of other things play in the role of it. So you have all these micronutrients that are in the apple
that
you're not going to find in like the candy, where, so all these other things play into it. So so all things are not equal. Maybe those one things are, and that's where I think when you said common sense plays a huge role into this, is appreciating that this apple, although maybe has the same macronutrient value as what a bag of chips, because you're looking at only the carbohydrate rating. It's like, well, the carbs are the same, so that's the same. Well, it's not true, because you have the fiber, the micronutrients that are also in the
fat, apple, the protein,
and all these different things that are within the apple that are actually going to do your body some good, where this bag of chip isn't going to do anything. do anything good for you.
It's, if you took two people and they were, let's say they were twins, and you say, here's 2,000 calories of sugar water and here's 2,000 calories of almonds, just to use sugar water and almonds again. And you say, every night I want you to drink that and you to eat these, and you measure their body fat, don't change anything else. Right. After, say, 6 weeks, the guy who's drinking the sugar is going to have such a higher body fat content than the guy who's eating the almonds. Yeah. A calorie is not really equal a calorie. It is kind of, but it's not. There's people that will count their calories down to the last calorie, and that's just silly, because the body doesn't work like that. The body's not a Swiss watch. The body's very dynamic, and it changes. It's not a static thing.
Sure.
And, one day you could... with that idea is you could be overeating 10 calories a day, as little as that. And then over a decade, that means you're putting on 30 pounds or whatever it is. And that's not going to happen. Your body can adapt as long as the right stuff is going in there and the body knows what to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big, if it fits your macros guy.
I looked that up because I saw it. You wrote it was IIFYM.
A lot of people are liking it now because it, well, if you do it right, it offers flexibility, because it's kind of like the cheat meal. It's like, hey, if you want to have some pizza, have some pizza. Not a big deal. As long as the rest of the time you're eating clean and you're actually doing some sort of fitness and you're taking care of yourself, that one piece of pizza or a few slices or a whole pie, I don't know, depending on how hungry
you are.
There's
some people that will say.
it's not that big of a deal.
I can't remember the name of that guy. What's his name? He's actually got a pretty big podcast out there. He wrote a book called The 4-Hour Body. Tim Ferriss, and he talks about taking that one day where you're,
it's just a mental thing too. It's like, thank God I can just eat what I want, like ice cream and pizza.
And I understand what he's saying as far as I guarantee you that diet won't work for anyone, but he does silly things. He's like, you want to activate your body has there's two ways sugar can be taken up into muscle. One is from insulin, and the other is a receptor that's actually on the muscle cell itself. And people who work out will increase those receptors, and they'll have something called postprandial hypoglycemia. So you'll actually see people who will eat a big meal you would think would have high blood sugar, and they're runners, and they go out and run, and all of a sudden they're down to 50. Mm-hmm. And you're wondering what's going on here. Their insulin's working, but their body's also absorbing, or sugar is being taken into, and I can't remember what the name of it. It doesn't matter. It's a peptide, I think, a glute 2 peptide. whatever.
I don't know.
It'll take sugar up into the muscle. So he'll get up and, like, before he eats dinner, he does like 50 squats and body weight squats and something else. And then he's like, and then I can eat whatever I want. It's like,
that doesn't really work that
way. Yeah. And yeah, the guy's fit. And I'm sure for some people it does work. But the thing comes down to you can't sit there and say you're going to follow a diet and say that it's going to change your life. And because that's not what life is about. Life is not about finding this fantastic, cool exercise routine. I CrossFit for 30 minutes straight a day, and now I'm ripped, and I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. Because you're going to blow out your shoulders. You're going to blow out your knees. You're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
It's also not about hammering down a new diet, which is cutting out carbs or cutting out protein or eating. I'm just eating saltines and fish sticks. This is my saltine fish stick diet. You know what I mean? Because eventually you're either going to burn out, you will burn out. You're going to miss nutrients somewhere else, or it's just not going to work. So the idea is to just, I don't know, keep everything in perspective.
And, yeah. Have some sense about yourself
and use your friggin' body.
Yeah. Really?
It's there. It's a shame. Cause at one time we needed it. You know, if I don't work out, and let's get back to that where I said, I get edgy. And I'm in a very laid back job now. I'm kind of in a different place than I was maybe 10 years ago. But still there's situations where, you know, your body is designed to fight tigers. That's what it's designed for. Or out here to fight bears. I mean, you're designed to have that run in, get the adrenaline pump, take off, and then live. Right. Well, now we have stress and other things, stress and, I don't know, mortgage payments or stress and getting your car fixed or whatever. And the body reacts the same exact way. And to me, if you're not getting an outlet for that, it's just going to come out in an extra stress. Your blood pressure is going to go up. You need an outlet to let that go. Because as far as I'm concerned, my body will react to stress the same way as if I'm in a sword fight. Never been in a sword fight, but I've been in a hell of a lot of stress.
Jeez.
And I need to get out a certain way, or I'll be a ball of, I'll be a mess. And I think a lot of people would benefit from some sort of
physical
outlet like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I hit pads. I don't know.
It can be anything too. It doesn't have to be the gym.
Yeah.
Or punching things.
Yeah, I suppose.
Bikes. I mean, you can do anything fitness, just going out and hiking.
Yeah.
Put a pack on your back and hike, you know, 10 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I instruct my patients for that, I get every excuse in the book. And I at some points I'm just like, look, any final thoughts?
I don't know. Go hit the weights. I'm ready to go lift again. This is fun.
I've been trying. I like to train. I like to change it up a little bit. I'll go through like.
I think you have to, because your body gets used to things.
And it's fun to try different things.
And it's where you try new things. And yeah, I think you kind of have to.
Like, I'll play with, I think I showed you my sandbag. I don't know. I have it in a backpack right now, but I have a 50-pound sandbag I made. I love working out with that. Kettlebells. I crapped on CrossFit, but I love kettlebells. I think they're great.
Kettlebells were around a heck of a lot longer than CrossFit.
Were they Russians? The Russians used it to help weigh stuff or whatever. That's why it's in kilos.
Yeah, don't hate on the kettlebells. Kettlebells are amazing.
Yeah.
I use them to strengthen my hips.
Do you really? Because you get that pop to bring it up.
It builds the hip flexors and it builds the stability back, because I have severe hip dysplasia. Mm-hmm. So keeping the muscle strong in my hips is extremely important. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll need a hip replacement.
And they're fun.
According to my doctor.
Really? So, at some point, Lee, too. But do you know what?
Yeah, but not while I'm 33.
We're young enough. We're young enough that we're going to appreciate the medical advances over the next 30 years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe it.
All right. Well, fun podcast. I think we went into some weird areas. I'm going to have to go through and edit out the a lot of that stuff.
No, I'm happy to be back. I was like, hey, this guy's never going to bring me back.
No,
I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
Trying to get this podcast off the ground, I just basically, I'm like, oh, he's got a pulse. Come on back. No, I'm joking.
Jeez, what does that say about me?
No, I enjoy having you. We have some good talks. I thought it went pretty well. What do you know the name of your podcast? We're going to try to keep
the one I'm going to try. I'm putting together.
Yeah, we can advertise through this free advertisement right now. Your first five.
This is amazing.
First five episodes, you can get free advertising.
We can help each other. Mm-hmm. It's called Make It a Double.
Oh, nice! I like it.
I'm going to call it Make It a Double, and it's about booze, spirits, the history, mixology, and the people and the stories that make it all great.
That sounds good.
That's kind of the gig. So hopefully we'll see. We'll see when it comes out.
Yeah.
I got some work to do still.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll it takes, I do too. At least you're doing work. I'm doing it on the fly. I'm like, well, let's see how this works.
It keeps us all guessing.
That's right. If you listen to this episode compared to my first episode, actually, you know, it's probably just as confusing. I think it's a very eclectic show and eclectic. Is that what you call it? Yeah, I guess you would. I don't know. It's fun too.
Yeah. I mean, you're the last one, obviously the only other one that I was on really got me going. I was like, this is actually a lot of fun and I think I'd like to do it.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy booze and wine and whiskeys and beers.
And fast women and faster cars.
That's right, man.
America.
And then, you know, some of the stories and the history behind some of these neat things. So
have you ever seen Drunk History?
I've seen parts of it. I haven't seen a lot of it.
I'm not a TV addict, but I have to say, since we've had the kids and it's like that 10 o'clock hour where everyone's asleep, and it's quiet in the house, and I'll just sit on my iPad and look up documentaries and weird things to watch.
Drunk History, from what I understood, is not real history. It's just a bunch of drunks who explain it like, well, this is George Washington climbed Mount Everest. And you're like, no, he didn't.
They'll take like a real situation.
But then they just drunkenly talk about
it. Yeah, so like I think they have to research it before they do it, and then they drink a lot, and then they have actors play out the role as he narrates it. Yeah.
Oh,
and then when they talk, like he'll say, and then George Washington said, "What do you mean?" And then an actor will just mouth the words as the drunk actor's voice is coming. It's hysterical. It's well worth the watch.
All right, I'll check it out.
And then I remember I was watching one, and right in the middle of one of the scenes, it was for the Watergate scandal. Right in the middle of one of the scenes, the character stops and starts going, and she starts throwing up, and you're like, what the hell's going on? And then the camera cuts to the guy actually narrating, and he's throwing up in a bucket because he's too drunk to go on.
Good golly.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny show.
They should teach this in schools. They should.
Yeah.
That should be history class.
Drunk History.
They pay a lot more attention.
This episode is brought to you by Drunk History. All right, let's wrap it up. As always, check us out on Twitter at WWI Podcast. I go off the cuff. I have to remember everything I say. Our email address is waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Hey, I'm always looking for guests. So if you guys want to be on the show, when I see you guys, I'm literally just looking around the neighborhood and talking to everyone around here. So Moses, if you want to be on again, I have a 3-mic setup now. So listen up, there's 3 mics available. We can get a 3rd mic on here, and it would be fantastic to have someone else to chime in. Yeah, that's basically it. Drop me an email. Talk to me on Facebook. We're on Facebook too at Wait What If Podcast. T-shirts will be available starting. No, I'm joking. I don't have any t-shirts.
Oh, really? You have t-shirts?
No.
Wow, we're getting big real fast. This is awesome.
When I hear their music, it makes me feel like I have to say something important like that. We're sponsored by the letter A and number 4. All right, take care.